Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Charity Stripe on the all-new Mightier 1090 AM SoCal Sports Talk.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, cuz they're free. I'm Joshua Fisher, along with Alexander Tassopoulos and San Diego's own Nicholas Kreider. If you don't like a DJ air horn sound, that's cool. Just let us know about it on Instagram at the.charity.stripe or on Twitter at _charitystripe_ another one. We are brought to you by several people, one of which is Sided Debates. Go to the app and debate literally anything you want to on Sided Debates. We put one up today, and our debate is, can Paul George lead the Clippers to the finals in the hypothetical that the Kawhi is not playing? The claw is out. No Leonard.
Well, we do. Yeah, it is a hypothetical because we don't know the severity of the ACL injury. Mm-hmm. We're watching Joel Embiid play on a torn meniscus, ripped, torn, doesn't matter. It's hurt. He's very hurt. He's hurt.
He broke. RIP Rip Torn, by the way.
Rip Torn. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tough loss. That went under the rug.
Patches O'Houlihan.
Yeah.
Wow. good call back there. I don't think he can. I don't think it has anything to do with Paul George. I think it has to do with the team that they're facing.
100%. Yeah.
That the Suns are firing on all cylinders.
But they could be without Chris Paul, who's under COVID protocol right now.
I would be surprised if he misses more than one game. Now, one game makes a difference in a series, but even still, the Clippers are a team we've seen in two rounds now come out not hot out of the gate.
Right.
They've lost. They've been down 2-0 in both series. Mm-hmm. I really think that even if Chris Paul's not playing in that first game, they're going to have to pay attention, take it really seriously, because the Suns could win that game without Chris Paul.
Well, the Clippers took this last game very seriously against the Jazz when the first game without Kawhi.
Right.
All their other guys stepped up. I mean, maybe this is, you know, a calling for these guys to actually step it up now, not rely on PG and Kawhi. PG had a great game, but look at what Reggie Jackson did, you know.
Yeah, and Marcus Morris. Look, they both Marcus scored Morris over did. 20 points.
Look at what Terrence Mann did.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys stepped it up. If they can continue to do that, they can make some noise.
Man's been getting a lot of minutes throughout the playoffs.
Posterized Rudy Gobert last night.
Yeah. He's super athletic. The thing with Paul George, and it's kind of ironic because we were talking about it the other day, as that game five was honestly one of the defining moments of Paul George's career. Can he step up and can he lead this Clippers team and be a top 25 player, a top 15 player in the world? Like everyone presumes he is. He's an all NBA third team kind of guy. So can he step up and, you know, really be that superstar that can get you there? And he was. And not only the 37 points is great, but for me, the 16 rebounds, like he wanted the ball.
Yeah,
he wanted the ball the entire game. He wanted.
But they can't
play
Zubac too much, right? Because he just is a mismatch in the pick and roll defensively. Right. So, you know, the guys that are Paul George, 6'8", guys like Nicholas Batum, Morris, they have to step up rebounding wise, especially when a guy like Gobert is out there, right? Yeah. He's huge.
Yeah,
so easy for him to just
elastic.
Yeah, he just like he reaches and he's grabbing the ball. He reaches and he's grabbing the rim.
Yeah, do you think how long is his wingspan? It's like
7'10".
Seven.
It's crazy.
That's a guess.
That's a guesstimate.
I think it's more than that.
That's like
really?
Yeah, I think it's more like 9, right?
Whoa, no.
No?
No way.
We got to do a
fact check. I feel like your wingspan is bigger than your height.
It is.
Yeah, for sure. But
well, not maybe not for us, but for NBA players,
his wings
traditionally is nine is not a lot.
Nine is like a, it's like a foot shorter.
It's like a falcon.
It's like a foot shorter than a basketball hoop. It's like right below.
He could stand on the ground.
Yeah, it's 7'9". It's 7'9". I looked it up.
Imagine Gobert.
I know there's a nine in there.
Yeah.
He's like full Warrior Two, like dunking the basketball. That's what it would be like.
Warrior Two.
Yeah.
It's an interesting debate though, because I think majority of people who aren't Clippers fans dislike Paul George for one reason or another. I think most of it from like a basketball fan perspective.
Doesn't show up those.
Yeah, because he has been inconsistent in big games, as we were talking about on our podcast.
Yeah,
he showed up in this big game, but like what you're saying, Nick, these other guys showed up too.
Right.
It's not a one man team. It hasn't been the entire season. They've won plenty of games without Paul George and Kawhi. They both missed almost 20 games during the regular season. These guys are ready to play without them.
Mm-hmm.
But are those players good enough, even with Paul George, to beat a team like the Suns? I think not.
They're a very veteran team, though. I think that's what they have going for them is they've got the veterans.
They've all been there.
They've all been there. And yeah, the Suns, sure, it's a very young team besides Chris Paul.
And we may get our wish, as discussed in the aforementioned podcast, which you can find on Spotify or Apple or anywhere you get your podcast. We wanted Devin Booker to kind of get his time to shine.
Here's my thing, Josh, is yesterday on our podcast, we talked about the difference between Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker. And you said, again, that Donovan Mitchell is better than Devin Booker. You know what Devin Booker did in a game where the Lakers didn't have Anthony Davis or they had him on the court?
Yeah.
He buried them. He buried the Lakers. Donovan Mitchell had 21 points last night. When he needed to step up.
He didn't. The thing is, though, it was a very impressive win by the Clippers. They were down for most of the game. And that Utah team made 17 threes in the first half. That's crazy. That's the second most in NBA history.
Yeah, well, they're one of the best 3-point
shooters. They do that almost every single game. Both these teams do that almost every single game.
Exactly. So, I mean, the volume of shots that come out, I mean, the Clippers are going to have to stay consistent with that. Yeah. And so that's just really what it comes down to. Can they do it with Paul George at the helm and no Kawhi? It's going
to
be tough.
Take it one game at a time because you can't ride out the Jazz.
Right.
Either.
But if I'm putting my money on it, I think Kawhi returns. If Joel Embiid can play on a torn meniscus, Kawhi's going to go back out there on a hurt ACL. Unless it's torn, which we don't know 100%, but I think they would come out and say something early on. They usually know pretty early if it's torn or not.
Yeah.
Is it an evaluation on Kawhi's part? If he ends up playing, do we think that he is less likely to return to the Clippers after this series? Like, does he push himself physically? Because he's not a young buck, right? He's a guy who has some wear and tear. He's been there.
I see what you're saying.
Does he say, okay, I got to do this.
Yeah.
This is my time. Look at me. I'm almost at the Western Conference Finals, or we're in the Western Conference Finals. Like, I got to push it now because I don't know how much more this Clippers team has because you've got old guys, right? You're paying some of these role players a lot of money. There's a lot of money tied up in a lot of places. Is Paul George the guy that's supposed to be his number two who can take him all the way there? Is he going to get a replacement next year if he's on the Clippers, if he's not on the Clippers, if Paul George doesn't get re-signed? Like, there's all these variables.
Right.
And I think that for a guy like Kawhi, it'll be really telling to see what he does. If he can play on the injury. Because I think if he can play, he will.
Yeah, this is the Clippers. I mean, I did just shout out to Mike Conley, because people harping on Mike Conley for not being able to play. I think that Kawhi, I don't know what he's thinking. You never do. But if I'm him, I'm looking at it like this. This is my best chance with the Clippers. I really think so. And I'm looking at if I'm Mike Conley, I'm looking at it like, this is my best chance to win a title. This is his best chance.
For sure.
There's no LeBron, right?
But it's everyone's best chance right now.
Chris Paul's too.
The Lakers were supposed to be the ones that were going to just go out and blow everyone out, and they're out.
It's not Giannis' best chance.
And it also looks like the Nets are a little vulnerable as well.
Yeah, the Nets
very.
The Nets are very vulnerable, and the East.
It's everyone's best chance this year.
But the distinction between the Nets and a team like the Clippers, if Kawhi doesn't come back, is do I believe that Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant, can take that team and win a finals?
100%.
Yes. Do I believe that out of Paul George? No. Maybe take them there. Maybe. I would bet not if Kawhi doesn't come back. If he does, I do think that they absolutely can get there and win.
Right.
But the issue, if they do get there, even if Paul George has, which will be a heroic feat, I think it'll be very determining in our breakdown of the top 25 in the NBA if he does get there. But at that point, they get there. They have no Kawhi in the finals. No chance they win.
I'm very adamant as well that whoever gets out of the Utah-Los Angeles series is going to get bounced. By the Suns. Because I think here's the deal. I think this is going to go to seven. I'm having a gut feeling it's going to seven. I think Conley comes back with vengeance in game six. and they nab game six, and then we see where we're at with game seven. Nothing against Paul George. Do I think Paul George is good enough to kind of get them there? Clearly, at this point, without Mike Conley on the floor, so we don't really know how that's going to look. But I think if it goes to seven, that also gives Chris Paul another extra 3 days, maybe four or five, depending, because now you have to hold for the series to kind of get everyone acclimated, give everyone a little rest.
Right.
It's an extra 5 days that he's not, you know, he's in quarantine or he's like not, you know, not in protocol.
And per the protocols, if he is vaccinated, which I don't know if he is vaccinated or not, but if he is, it's a shorter timeline.
Yeah. Right.
So if he's vaccinated, he'll be out of protocol. He'll be there for game one. If he's there for game one with all this rest, and everyone's rested up on the Suns, they're young as it is. I just think whoever's going to Phoenix is entering a buzzsaw. Now it's about how quickly can people get out of the Eastern Conference. We're recording right now earlier in the day. So as you're hearing this, the Nets Bucks is well underway. Anything could have happened. Kevin Durant could be going for 80 points, an 80 piece. Harden could be back. He could be the one, which is the scary thing about the Nets. Kevin Durant had that game last time. It could easily be James Harden this time. So the Bucks are in a world of hurt. They quote-unquote had them where they wanted them, and you let them off the hook. But they're going back to Milwaukee, so we'll see what happens there. 76ers blew a 26-point lead. The Clippers had Lou Will and Gallinari, who had come back from a 31-point lead. Now together on Atlanta, they came back from a 26-point lead.
Comeback kids.
Three minutes left in the third quarter. That's when the difference was 26 points.
I almost turned it off. It was like 7 minutes left. They were down 14. And I was like, all right, this is over. And the next thing you know, it's Trae Young just took over. We're headed into that. The line is 3. Where are you sitting on this toss going back to Atlanta?
I think this is a fun, risky pick. I mean, both of these series, and the Hawks, it's a really fun bet because they're both +3, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Why not money line both of them? Maybe I would do it individually.
Well, the Clippers are I think, +1.5, right?
Okay.
Are they playing? Okay.
+1.5.
On betonline.ag.
I was about to ask, where are you going to put your bet
I put my bets in, I think they're +2. Either way, Nick's taking the money line, the Clippers, and I will be taking the Hawks money line. Because it's the bet I want to make. Is it necessary? I'm betting with my heart here. I'm not necessarily betting with my head. But I'm also... How can I not be betting with my head after watching Sixers just absolutely crumble a 26-point lead?
There is a major problem.
And when games get tight, they have a guy named Ben Simmons on the floor who the Hawks can send to the line.
And that's the major problem.
And over and over again.
I have been one of the last remaining Ben Simmonsers.
Yeah, there's not many left.
I'm about to leave. I'm about to leave the island.
I'll never leave, but yeah.
Get in the gym.
I saw a meme today.
Get in the gym.
I saw a meme today on Twitter. And it was Ben Simmons if he wasn't 6'10", and it was him on a
driving
UPS
a truck or something.
UPS truck.
Look, he's an amazing defender. He's a great facilitator. But in today's NBA, if you're the point guard, you need to be able to score from every level, including your foul shots. What other point guard out there is shooting less than, like, let's say 75% from the line, let alone going 4 of 14?
I think the Sixers, Doc Sixers, have made it clear that it doesn't matter if Ben can shoot threes.
I don't care about the three.
No, that's what I'm saying. But shooting from every level includes shooting from threes. And I just want to make the distinction that, like, I don't think that's a necessity in his game. Now, would that elevate him to potentially getting to, if he could shoot free throws and threes, could we maybe say, oh, if he puts it all together, he could be a top 10 player in the NBA? Talent-wise, maybe. But the fact of the matter is he can't shoot threes and he can't shoot free throws. But more importantly, he can't shoot free throws because other teams are forcing Giannis to shoot threes. But Giannis, he can hit threes here and there. Ben Simmons just straight up can't shoot free throws. And the way that you can get guys to the line is so easy because you can just hack them. They go to the line. It takes away the possession for the other offensive players.
Yeah.
One being Joel Embiid, who is a fantastic offensive player. Tobias Harris is playing the best offensive basketball in his life.
It's Curry.
Yeah, Seth is knocked down.
He had a 30-piece the other night.
And it's just giving a possession back to the Hawks. So it makes the 26-point deficit very manageable.
Yeah, it does give a possession back. And you know what? The best part about the Hawks is their depth. So you could run guys out there, have them getting foul.
Pull them.
See ya.
Yeah.
Okongwu, thanks for playing.
Foul.
It's like in hockey, they bring out I forget the guy's name on the Rangers. They used to just bring him out there. They used to bring him out there to start fights. His last name started with an A.
No, we talk about playoff basketball, and you look at a bench, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of coaches take their bench they take their playoff roster 8 spots deep.
Yeah.
They're only playing 8, maybe 9 guys. But if you're Nate McMillan, you get to look at all 12 of those guys and say, okay, 12 through 8, you're all usable. I can put you on the court and you can just foul Ben Simmons. You have 6 fouls. That's your value. And that is incredibly useful. It's very useful.
Horribly boring basketball.
Yeah, of course.
But dude, it kills like 7 possessions or 6 possessions from them. And it's like not in those, like he's making 4 out of the 14. Those may be like 1 at a time. It may not be 2-point swings every time. And you do that late. I mean, again, like that team is so effing deep that it's just, I mean, it's just bewildering that Ben Simmons is not still in the gym as we speak.
Yeah, and no lead is safe in the modern NBA anyway. But when you're giving free possessions back to the other team, it's tough.
They had, you know how they ran last night? They ran 10 deep. They ran 10 deep last night. You had how many guys? Okay, Capella, Trey Young, Bogdanovich, Hoyter, and Gallinari had 4+ fouls.
They're using them. They're using them all on Ben Simmons.
It's just
now they're at home in Atlanta. So take it. Take the bet. Why not? It's a fun bet.
It's an easy bet. Honestly, you might as well throw it on them because first of all, if the Sixers win this and goes back to Philly, Atlanta's going to have a very tough time getting out of there.
For sure.
But I don't think it'll get to that point because I think the Hawks are going to bounce the Philadelphia 76ers to smithereens. See ya in Mars. And I hope so too. You know, I was even as a Celtics fan, I still was like always like I hate breakups. I like continuity, and I was hoping this Embiid and Simmons thing was going to work out. But JoJo is blatantly the best player on the team without question at this point. And if they lose, you have to find a way to get rid of Simmons. And you say, oh, could Simmons be a top 10 player if he had a 3-ball and had a free throw shot? He'd probably be the best player in the league. And I have no problem saying that because I know for a fact he'll never have either at this point. He's made no, like not even like a small adjustment. It seemed like there's been no effort.
Yeah. The free throw thing is interesting because I think that anyone that's played basketball before knows that it really, you can be a not good 3-point shooter and be a really good free throw shooter. Mm-hmm. It's very doable.
Yeah.
Even a guy like DeAndre Jordan figured it out a little bit. He, over the last 2 years, has been pretty good from the free throw line, and he was abysmal before. Look, if he can figure it out, so can Ben Simmons.
And if that's like, I'm saying like, that's shooting.
That guy's a 7-foot, that guy shouldn't be a good shooter, and he figured it out.
Like Dwight Howard at his worst was shooting like 40-something percent. Simmons out here shooting like milk, like 2%.
Yeah.
It's honestly, lack of a better word, pathetic. It's just pathetic, and that's the reason they're going to lose this series. They're going to Atlanta, and Atlanta is a dangerous team, not even because of the depth, because of the way they play basketball. If you have a guy like Trae Young who can hit from every level and he can facilitate and he can get to the rack because he's quicker, the way they were drawing switches last night, they like switched him off Dybul onto Harris, onto Embiid, mixed up Embiid, got a mid-range jumper. Or he can drive in the paint and either dish to, I don't know, Bogdanovich, Hoyter, Gallinari, any one of these dudes who could bang a three, or drive and dump to Collins on the outside who could bang a three, or he's slashing in or hit Capella for an alley-oop.
Yeah, there's a lot of different options. And then you can change the pace up, bring Lou Will in, and let him create his own shot.
And the 76ers, Curry is not... How many more games is Curry going to have where he's dropping, like, what, 35-plus?
He's pretty great.
He's a great basketball player, but you're not getting that every night.
No, he's not his brother.
He's been doing it pretty consistently, though. I mean, the thing with him is, if you leave him open, he is that good of a shooter.
No, totally.
I'm a Mavs fan. You say you're a Celtics fan. I'm a Mavs fan. I don't know what we were thinking because Josh Richardson is not good. He is not a good basketball player. He is certainly not a good spot-up three-point
shooter.
He's got
great taste in music.
He does, and he's a big Arsenal fan, and I like Arsenal too.
But so do I, and I'm not an NBA player. So
yeah.
Yes, this is not a show to besmirch the name of Josh Richardson, but I've made it a little bit about myself here as being a Mavs fan. But it's more so just to say that Seth Curry is a really good option. He's kind of like that guy that you look at the Nets right now. Shooters are so valuable across the NBA. Joe Harris is having one of his worst 3 to 4 games I've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
He's been awful, and the other guys have had to step up because of it.
He's a million lost on the court.
As long as Seth Curry is not doing what PJ Tucker did and scored a 0, and he is hitting all of his open shots. Same thing that Jeff Green did. Like, that's all you can ask for some of these role players who are just kind of becoming shooters, spot-up shooters, as the high usage rate superstars create for them.
Yeah, PJ Tucker, hook 'em horns, but after that game five, he should have put his head in the toilet. You can't be out there for 30 plus minutes, 0 points.
You can't give PJ Tucker a swirly, though. He's got no hair.
He could. We'll Chia pet him. He'll swirly. He'll swirly that thing.
I mean, yeah. Pet. I mean, I think ultimately that just goes back to what we talked about last week, or I talked about last week, in that Bud is not a good playoff head coach. If you see that PJ Tucker's not making an impact, and Durant is as hot as he can be, you can't stop him at that point. Put in someone else who can actually score. I think the five that they ran at the end of the game was like Connaughton, Middleton, Drew Holiday, Giannis, and Brooke Lopez. So he finally figured it out. But you're just wasting space. Yeah. If PJ Tucker is not going to hit his corner three, mm-hmm. he can't create his own shot. At least Connaughton can like get to the rim,
yeah.
finish, and shoot the spot up three better than PJ Tucker is right now. So you just got to make evaluations as a coach. You got to be able to actually act on those evaluations. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see what Doc comes back with defensively to try and mediate what the Hawks have been able to do.
Yeah, he should go to church and get Jesus Christ. But we're going to go Clippers plus one.
Pray for Ben Simmons to hit a free throw.
We're going to go Clippers money line. Even if Conley's playing, I think that changes things. But I think we're all pretty high on the Paul George hype and the veteran hype to potentially get them to the Western Conference Finals at home in Los Angeles. Are we giving that a K for kosher? K with the circle around it?
Yeah, K for kosher.
Cool. Were you with a circle around it?
Circle K.
Shout out
Circle K.
It's a U. What is Circle K?
It's like a gas station mini mart.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And Special K is a cereal.
Special K is a cereal. And Coach K is in his last season.
Wow.
As a Duke head basketball coach. And we'll talk about that.
And don't do ketamine.
And that's some friendly advice. We'll be right back after a brief message.
We will be right back with the Charity Stripe on the all-new Mightier 1090 AM. SoCal Sports Talk. This is the Charity Stripe on a new generation of radio. The Mightier 1090 AM. SoCal Sports Talk.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, cuz they're free. Joshua Fisher here again, along with Alexander Tassopoulos and San Diego's very own Nikki Snacks Kreider. A lot going on in the sporting world in the fun zone. Jimmy Kimmel is getting his own bowl game, the LA Bowl at SoFi Stadium, kicking off December 18th. What do you guys think about that? Like, I think it's the first human-sponsored bowl, and it's Jimmy Kimmel's. Now, you know what the Cheez-It Bowl, the Idaho Potato Bowl?
Well, it's the Kimmel Show's bowl.
But
right?
He is the show.
Well, I would argue Guillermo is the show.
Guillermo's the show for sure. Chateau's family.
Let me shout out to Guillermo. Let me ask you this then. Because, you know, I had a disappointment in the bowl games last year, and it was inconsistency.
Was it that you didn't watch them?
No, I did. It was the inconsistency that occurred in the bowl games that I had an issue with. Idaho Potato Bowl. They dump French fries on the head coach after they win.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah. Cheez-It Bowl. They dump Cheez-Its on the head coach after they win. The Duke's Mayo Bowl, there was no mayo dump that occurred.
Hmm.
And look, I'm sorry that you're in the Mayo Bowl.
You're going to dump little Jimmy Kimmel action figures on the coach?
Let's put Jimmy Kimmel or Guillermo in a little Gatorade thing or bigger Gatorade thing and dump them on the head coach. After they had has to happen.
I want to see like a full speed tackle by Guillermo or Jimmy Kimmel.
On the opposing head coach?
Yeah.
Look, even if Texas is in this game, which is if we're in the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl at SoFi Stadium, pump for SoFi, I'm going to be
upset,
depressed, not even upset. Upset is like, ah, dang, I got a ticket again.
Yeah, December 18th is a really, really early day in December for a bowl game.
We're talking like UAB versus Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
That's actually what it was 2 years ago.
That was what it was, yeah. You want to see me depressed, find me at
the Blazers versus the Huskies?
I have no clue.
Northern Illinois.
Wait, UAB, isn't that the Dragons?
The Blazers.
Oh, the Blazers?
They're Dragons.
It looks like a dragon.
Yeah.
Roddy White went there.
Nice.
Shout out to Roddy White.
He was basically like one of the first big-time wide receivers for the Falcons in this kind of lineage, in the 2000s lineage.
Because there weren't any. It was like Algie Crumpler and some.
Who was a tight end.
Yeah, who was a tight end. And it was Michael Vick, Crumpler, Warwick Dunn. That was like the trio. But then it was Roddy White, Julio together.
Right.
Then Cal Ridley. But he would have hypothetically.
Now Cal Ridley flying solo.
with Kyle Pitts, who's tight end as
tight end slash wide receiver.
We'll see how that unfolds. But the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl is occurring, and I want everyone to know now, as of today on June 17th, I will be upset if they don't dump Jimmy Kimmel on the head coach.
All right, well, I'm curious to see how that's going to be executed.
Whoa. But
can we push the
envelope? What about this? How about this? You want them to dump Jimmy Kimmel onto the head coach. What if Jimmy Kimmel dumps the head coach from their team and fires them? Because the head coach wins the Kimmel Bowl.
Yeah.
It now is at a small school, probably like UAB, and gets bumped up to a new school. He leaves his old school, gets dumped by Jimmy Kimmel, meaning that he gets fired from, not fired from his old school, but he upgrades to a newer, better, bigger school.
Yeah, I like that almost as much.
What if he gets to go on Kimmel's show? That would be the real treat.
That's cool.
I think that's pretty plausible.
That's plausible.
It's very plausible.
And you know what? It would be honestly rude of Kimmel if he didn't do that.
Honestly, I think that these guys will probably be on Kimmel's show beforehand. Right? To kind of get some buzz around
get
the game.
Get some juice around the game.
Kimmel loves doing that.
Yeah. He Kimmel likes himself.
If the UAB, I don't know why I'm just bashing the Blazers here. If the UAB, if they're in that game again, and the head coach comes on Kimmel's show, the other two guests that will sandwich the head coach will be the biggest guests you've ever seen on Kimmel, because that Blazers one is not bringing many eyes.
No. He's got a really, well, they'll bring the whole university will watch.
It'll be like Bieber before him and I don't know, after
someone may
Doja Cat.
Doja Cat, Brad Pitt, maybe, you know, like a McConaughey session. Something major like that.
Big people.
Big people. Meryl Streep.
The UAB Blazers head coach is not moving the needle.
Would you watch that show? Bieber, UAB head coach into Meryl Streep on Kimmel?
Yeah, of course. That'd be electric.
That'd be all three of them together.
As long as Guillermo's the only one doing the interviews.
As long as Meryl Streep's the one dumping Kimmel on the head coach. But I just wanted to throw that out there because I thought that was like a cool thing. It's in Los Angeles. We are 1090.
That'll be the first bowl game at SoFi, right?
That is the first bowl game at SoFi by default. Have you guys, I mean, this stadium.
Are they playing one of the, well, the whole college football format, the playoff has been expanded.
Yeah. It's not official yet.
It's not official yet. No one really knows what's going down. They're talking 18, they're talking 12 teams.
I heard 12 is going to happen.
12 is a lot, though. That's crazy. You go from 0 to 4 to 12. That's a big jump. I was picturing like a 6 to 8 kind of jump where they give the first two teams, number 1 and 2, byes.
Yeah.
And then the 4 through the 6 end up playing, or the 3 through the 6 end up playing each other.
One of my friends usually gets really drunk when we have this, you know, when we have this talk. I don't know why it's a drunk topic of discussion, but it is. And he's usually like kind of passing out and he goes, my plan, all Power 5 teams are in. And then you get three at larges or with a second place SEC team. And two
all five conference champions. You mean?
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Pac-12.
I don't know why, but I think people get really heated and really passionate about college football playoff discussions when it comes to like the formatting of it, like how they would do it.
It stinks on ice right now. It's absolute garbage.
I guess it does, but I just told you that I didn't watch many of the bowl games last year, and the reason why is because of the college football playoff.
Right. Because there's really only three games that matter.
Yeah, it's devalued so many of these other games. And that's why, you know, some of these bowls, they have to attach big names like Jimmy Kimmel to them for me to care about it.
Yeah, James Kimmel's all of a sudden attached to a bowl game. That's why we need these. That's why they're probably thinking 12 is to give value to multiple sponsors, to multiple bowl games.
Right.
You know, they can't just have, it can't just be Dr. Pepper, you know, or like you're switching out. We got to give, maybe the Cheez-It Bowl gets its time to shine in the first round. If it's an 18 playoff, though, as it's being discussed, does it go to like first four get a bye, then the eights do a thing, and then the four come back in?
Why? Because it's just not feasible for them to play out.
I don't know. I don't think the math works on a 12-ski. Because it would have to be 6v6, and then you're left with six, and then there would have to be another bye of sorts. So the bye has to occur at the initial jump.
Yeah, there's going to be a bye.
You can't just donate a bye afterwards.
Right.
Yeah. Which would be, bye, I don't
bye, birdie. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye. Speaking of bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye, bye to what I thought the Madden cover was going to be. Still in the fun zone on the charity stripe on 1090. I thought they teased it as two goats. Drew Brady just wins. Breeze just retires. I'm like, okay, what? We're going to get a Brady
Bruce. You thought it was Brady. They released a video of two goats coming out of
it. It was a big goat and a little bow. Or, sorry, a big goat and a little goat.
I didn't even notice that they were
two different sized goats. Which even goes to my point even more. The little goat is Breeze, and the big goat is Brady.
No, it's Mahomes.
Well, now I know it's Mahomes.
You didn't know that it was Mahomes when they first released that?
No. Well, I knew it was Brady.
Nick, were you thinking it was Breeze and Brady?
No. I was definitely not thinking Breeze.
I think you are in the minority in thinking that it was Breeze. I don't think anyone thought it was Breeze.
I think everyone thought it was Brady.
Brady and Mahomes.
And I thought maybe it could be Lamar because he's called the baby goat. But like, it's for sure Mahomes.
It's kind of lame.
I mean, look, they played in the Super Bowl last year against each other.
And now they're all just buddy-buddy.
What's wrong with that?
They should be going in for the kill.
I don't know. I mean, I
there should be a rivalry,
that's
brewing.
Not really like their style, either of them.
No, not at all.
Everyone's just, you know.
So you're upset?
Yeah, I'm upset, dude.
So what would you rather?
Well, first of all, was Mahomes not the cover last year?
He was.
So he's getting it again.
He's that good.
He's just getting the cover. He was covering.
Tom Brady was 2 years ago. 3 years ago.
And they've, in the preceding three Super Bowls, they've each been involved.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's
last one together. One before was Mahomes. One before that was Brady.
Also, this is the MVP edition. Sorry, last year was Lamar.
Yeah.
This is the MVP edition, right? So they're going to have another edition probably where, I don't know, they come up with another cover. They always, I don't know. I like the old school Madden cover where it was just one guy and that's it, right?
Well, I like when we voted.
Nowadays, yeah, and voting was cool too. But nowadays it's like, all right, you got the Legacy Edition, you got the MVP Edition, you got the Hall of Fame Edition. It's like there's a different cover athlete every single one of them. And it's like, just keep it the same.
It's like, yeah, it's like on 2K.
Yeah, it diminishes it.
I'm cool with two guys on one cover. That's not an issue that I have. I mean, there was the Larry Fitzgerald, Paul Malone. That was sweet.
Yeah, that was cool for sure.
But it's like, was Zion on the cover of 2K this year or was it Damian Lillard?
Right.
It was both.
Exactly.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Zion got it year two. How desperate of a move was that?
You know how much money he got paid to do that?
Oh, he's laughing all the way to the bank.
His agents they're excited about it.
I'm sure they're stoked.
Who isn't excited about that?
It's his second year. You got to work to the cover. You can't just be donating out covers.
Another news, it's his second year, and he's already like saying that he's disappointed at being in New Orleans.
Dissatisfied.
Well, he just lost his head coach.
Oh, yeah, that was a shocker. And that guy stunk.
Yeah.
I told you that. I could have been in a coma and be like, that guy's going to
there's going to be a sweepstakes for Chauncey Billups.
They should take it. They should, I guess, re-sign Lonzo and take Billups or let Lonzo go for pennies or get Dame.
Chauncey's going to have his pick of the litter, though.
That's what I'm saying. There's going to be a sweepstakes.
Boston's going to be available.
If the Clippers get bounced, maybe he stays in L.A. and
Portland,
Ty Lue.
Portland is available. I think Rick Carlisle might do the exact same thing that Brad Stevens did, take over the president of basketball operations and open up head coach possibility. Mm-hmm. And then Chauncey Billups becomes very appealing there too.
In this last Clippers game against the Jazz, I think they covered Chauncey Billups and I guess interviewed him more than they did for Ty Lue.
Yeah, I mean, Ty Lue is a bum. We've said that on the last show.
I feel like Chauncey's running the show there.
Yeah, I don't think that we look at Paul George. We were praising him earlier. In our earlier segments, it's like I think it's because he's taken the step forward, and a lot of that under the tutelage of Chauncey Billups, not Ty Lue.
Yeah, you don't have to sell me that pen. I know Ty Lue's not doing anything. I'll sell you this pen one more time. I'm disappointed that Breeze is not on the cover of Madden. It was a swan song. Let him get it with Brady. That would have been cool. You know, two goats. Obviously,
was Breeze ever on the cover?
Yeah, once,
he's been on the cover once. It which would have been a nice
soon thing. After they won the Super Bowl.
Around then.
Yeah, around the time, within the 5 years.
Yeah, plus or minus five.
Four of the last six cover athletes are currently on the Bucks roster.
Wow. Four of the last.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Yep.
Gronk.
Yep.
Gronk. Who else?
Oh, wow. This is a tough one. Leonard Fournette. No.
No way.
Sue is never on the cover. He should have been, though. I think he was close 1 year.
Was he? Was he not?
No, I don't think Sue was on the cover. No.
Also, this is just a stat that I found. I didn't have like all four names.
Oh, you didn't have all four names ready to go in the bank.
I know it's right, unless I was lied to.
Maybe they're counting Brady twice, or maybe they think Richard Sherman or Odell will sign.
I think it's got. Yeah, I don't. I
oh,
think
it's Brady. It's Brady twice.
Brady twice. Yeah, it's kind of a cheapskate move.
So there's three though. It's pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy. Peyton Hillis is going to be a head coach there soon, or one of the offensive guys. Then they'll technically have four.
Yeah,
take over for Bruce Arians. We'll give a shout out though, Nick. Your Padres, good and bad.
Not a shout out
or like a demerit.
This is a demerit. Step it up. They've won four games in the last 17, I think.
Oof.
Not good. And you're doing this all.
It's like Ben Simmons from the free throw line.
And you're doing this all while Tatis is on fire too. Josh and I were at the Mets Padres game,
Grand Slam
in New York at Citi Field on Sunday when they got a W, one of the four wins, and we hit that Grand Slam. But he's crushing the ball right now, and the offense needs to wake up. They woke up a little bit in Colorado this series, but they couldn't pitch. I mean, yeah, they were in Colorado, but wow, this is a terrible stretch right now. All the while, the Giants are on fire still, and they're pulling away. I think they're, what, 5.5 games above us right now, 6 games ahead of us?
Wow. They're 6 games up on you guys. The Dodgers are playing good baseball as well. They're 7-3 in the last 10. And now you're running into the issue. Like, the Cubs and Brewers are good.
Yeah.
And you know who else is good that's going to start catching fire because they're pitching well? The Phillies. There's teams in their rear view.
I was high on the Phillies preseason.
There's teams in their rear view that are dangerous. There's teams that are ahead of them that are not slowing down. The Reds are on fire as well.
I'm confident that they'll put it together. Finally, everyone's getting healthy. Trent Grisham's back in the lineup. It looks like he hasn't missed a step. Tammy Pham is finally hitting the ball well. But the other guy's got to perform. Machado's got to be more consistent, and we got to blast Eric Hosmer to the moon.
I mean, dude, that contract was bad from the jump.
It might be the worst contract in baseball.
The Chris Davis Baltimore Orioles contract is literally dog crap on toilet paper.
But Eric Hosmer is also defensively one of the worst first basemen in the league, and he's not hitting the ball.
I think Chris Davis is like hits like two, like .02. He is just, so bad.
Just the number
dude.
Two.
He's with, so bad, with dude.
All 25 hits being home runs.
Yeah. It's literally 25 home runs and literally a 400 strikeouts. The Padres, so, dude, the Snell trade has been abysmal.
Yeah, he's
horrible.
Not been great. He's been good at home. He's not been good away. I think he's got like a 1.8 at home or something. And away, it's just astronomical.
Yeah.
Here's a quick solve.
Yeah.
Don't pitch him away. Just pitch him at home.
Yeah, skip him in the rotation.
He had an interview with Dennis Lynn of The Athletic, and he had mentioned that he was in his head. He was trying to be that guy. He was thinking too much. He was trying too hard to just, I guess, deliver and make a name for himself in San Diego or a new city, and he just needs to get back to the basics. And for a while, like, we were like, okay, maybe he's coming back a little bit. And then he goes to Colorado and gives up 7 runs.
Yeah.
To a terrible Rockies team.
But it's still Colorado. I mean, look.
It's not Colorado, but you're
Colorado playing where that fan socked the other fan?
Yeah, the Padres fan there. Decked the Rockies fan.
Jesus Christ.
What a right hook that was.
That's lawless.
I've watched that video multiple times.
Yeah.
And it makes those TikTok YouTuber fights they look terrible.
I mean, those guys got
put that guy in the ring. That guy, get him in the ring.
Yeah,
he really socked that guy.
Yeah, he would smack Bryce Hall.
Smack him.
Yeah, I'll give Bryce Hall this. He kept coming back for more. He was getting bonked, but he kept coming back.
He lost, right?
Oh, yeah, he got crushed.
I knew that was going to happen.
He got
smoked
crushed.
Him like a peace pipe.
The other guy actually like works pretty hard at boxing, Austin.
It looked like it. Everyone was really impressed with him, but it could have just been his opponent was meh.
Punching bag, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, the issue in baseball, the top teams are all playing particularly well.
They are.
Like the AL is treacherous. I mean, even the Yankees are starting to catch fire. Like, you still are going to have to catch the Sox and the Indians, and you may have some good leeway with Bieber being out and Plesac being out for the Indians, but they somehow always piece together, and the Red Sox aren't slowing up. I mean, the Rays will go to, like, the quick injury in the Glasnow situation. Speaking of trying hard, Glasnow, they put the whole sticky situation to rest. There's, like, you could get ejected, suspended 10 games by baseball, and now Glasnow is, like, blaming. Glasnow came out and said, hey, look, I use a mixture of rosin and sunscreen, and that's how I use my sticky stuff. I'm not using spider tack.
No.
That's what I'm using, and I didn't use it, and I had the ball deeper in my grip. I'm throwing harder, and I think that's how I got hurt.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. But the thing is, I don't like how MLB is coming down on this midseason. Like, this is something that needs to happen in the offseason or looked at beforehand, right?
Yeah.
Like, why is it coming out in June?
It's just they don't know. Because Rob Manfred
is terrible.
Is an L7 weenie. Nice. He's got rocks for brains. Dude is a straight-up boulder. He's no
what
idea.
Else? Come on, keep going.
Keep going?
Yeah.
He is a mountain head, and not in a good way. Just geology, rocks. He is the professor of geology at the University of
Stony Baloney.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's like, dude, figure it out beforehand or figure it out afterhand.
Right. Or just quit. Can we impeach a commissioner, you think?
We couldn't get the, you know, there's other people that could have been impeached in higher up positions in the world, and they weren't. And I don't think we could impeach the head of baseball.
Do the owners? Should.
How do the owners feel about him? I'm sure the owners don't care. They care about the money.
I mean, every commissioner in some sort is a puppet to the owners.
Yeah.
Adam Silver might be the one that actually cares more about the players, but for the most part, they're puppets.
Yeah. I mean, Silver cares about the players almost too much,
yeah,
to a fault.
Because your job is to
appease the owners and the teams.
Well, it's also just to make the league the most revenue that you possibly can.
That's true as well. And Rob Manfred can't keep the positive baseball highlights and positive baseball stories in the mix. It's always negativity. Look, you have Ohtani, who is finally come to fruition and is now exactly what it was promised. And the big story in baseball, sticky tack, thumb tack.
Hate it.
People getting, you know, scuffing up baseballs. It's like, dude, like, get it together. I mean, how long have we been saying this? Run a positive narrative. Who's the PR team on baseball?
For the MLB?
Yeah.
Where are you? Show yourself.
Passed out in streets of Bourbon. Drunk. It's a skunk. No clue what day it is. Still think it's Mardi Gras. Lost in the sauce. Absolutely asleep at the wheel.
They had a good time, though.
I'm sure they had a blast. Great Fat Tuesday for the MLB PR team. I mean, there's just a lot of good baseball going around, though. And, I mean, even, like, the Padres, as bad as they've, like, been, they still are above 500. And Tatis has been phenomenal. And with DeGrom, I mean, I don't think DeGrom is going to miss a star. He thinks he's fine. But knock on wood, because we love seeing the greatness of Jacob DeGrom. I full-on root for it every time he's out. It is must-watch baseball. But if he misses like a month plus, like Tatis is a shot. He's like the next up for MVP.
Yeah, no, I agree. Right now it's DeGrom. If he misses time, it's going to be a question mark. But it's crazy that DeGrom can throw 3 perfect innings, 8 of them strikeouts, and then come out of that. It's crazy. It's on a hurt arm, he struck out 8 of 9 batters.
And he had an RBI. He has like more RBIs than earned runs at this point. It's ridiculous. You know who is not going to get any or should get some love for MVP? My man on the Giants. This is going to be unpopular opinion on this radio station.
Buster
Posey.
Yeah.
They are in first place. They are the best team in the National League. He's hitting like 3.
Buster's back?
Dude, back? Buster Posey is arguably playing his best baseball.
Did he sit last year?
No, he was just he played last year. He was there last year. I'm double checking as we speak, but Buster Posey is playing his best baseball. But the San Diego Padres, they're at home for the first time in full capacity, though. That is a bright spot.
It's a bright spot. It's going to bring a lot of energy to the team, and I think it's going to boost them to getting out of this slump.
Yeah, and we are rooting for the Dodgers and the Padres to meet in this wild card game for what could be the best rivalry in baseball.
I agree.
All right. Charity Stripe Podcast, Charity Stripe Show. You can find us on Instagram at the.charity.stripe or on Twitter at _charitystripe_. We out you. We love you. Hit your free throws.
Thank you for joining us. Please catch the Charity Stripe every Thursday at 6 p.m. on the Mightier 1090 AM SoCal Sports Talk.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.